Hi friends, welcome to Red Ice Radio. It's good to have you with us. My name is Henrik Almgren. Our website is redicecreations.com. R-E-D-I-C-E, creations.com. That's the place to go to tune into our radio programs that we do on Thursdays and Sundays. You can find us here and there on the web as well, of course. Just the way we like it. Spread the programs, keep the information flowing, and tell your friends about us. We're soon starting up with our live webcasts again. We've been planning another season, as it were, and we're going to begin with a series on the Brotherhood of Death together with Michael Tesserian. This is coming up, so keep your eyes on the website. In the meantime, take advantage of our archive and our members area for more webcasts, radio, video interviews, and film material. And today we are going to continue on the theme of the media and the occult. Our guest today is Ben Singleton from Pseudo-Occult Media. We are going to get into the important and kind of scary and ugly area of pop culture, the music scene, and the connection with mind control. We're going to discuss themes, symbols, triggers, and key elements used in music videos, in TV series, and in films, and much more. We have a few examples that we want to bring up in relation to a few of the pop stars out there, and we have a lot of exciting avenues that we might walk down here today together with Ben Singleton. So it's very exciting to have you on the program, Ben. Thank you very much for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for inviting me, Henrik. I'm honored to be on your show. I've listened to you for a long time, and it's really great to be on here.
Excellent. I'm really looking forward to this. I've been following your blog off and on. We can mention the URL for that, of course, is pseudooccultmedia.blogspot.com. That's the best way to go to follow along during today here as we talk, and do go back there, because there's a lot of information up there for you to check out. And Ben is very skilled, I think, at kind of analyzing music videos and looking at some of the personages behind all this, or I guess in front of the cameras, we should say, but we might even go behind the cameras as well during this program and talk about what some of the forces might be behind all of this. But again, Ben, excellent to have you here, and we have so much to talk about. But just briefly here at the beginning, I want to talk a little bit about you, your blog, of course, and kind of what got you started. So if you will, Ben, tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, well, first of all, it's pseudocultmedia.blogspot.com. That's with only one O between the pseudo and the occult, so they're kind of connected. So pseudocult. P-S-E-U-D-O-C-C-U-L-T, media.blogspot.com.
Yes.
Yeah, and anyway, basically how I got into this kind of stuff was, basically it's kind of similar to a lot of other people, really. 9/11 was kind of the spark that made you kind of realize something's not right here. But actually, when 9/11 was occurring, I sort of wasn't into any of this stuff. I mean, I was just a kid really kind of like playing Counter-Strike all day and everything. So this just wasn't in my kind of radar, if you know what I mean.
Yes.
But as I kind of grew up and I sort of became a bit more politically active, as you go into like college and things like that, I sort of started to realize that there's definitely something wrong here, and 9/11 just seemed like a complete utter fraud. And then for a couple of years I was really into it around the year 2004, and then the 7/7 bombings happened, and then that sort of got me really kind of, because it's so close to home, it kind of made me really think, like, this is big and needs to be kind of looked at seriously. And then from there, I basically just became interested in all there's so many amazing blogs out there and so many different resources of information that you sort of just get lost in it for a while, really.
What would you say were kind of what got you started just looking at this particular area? Because I guess you started it up, and then, as all things do, they evolve, they develop a kind of character of their own, and all of a sudden you're into an area that you might not at the beginning kind of have set your eyes on, so to speak. But what got you into this area of specifically looking at media, music videos, and the connection with the occult, Ben?
Yeah, well, I wasn't really connecting all the conspiracy stuff to the media, and I connected it to the news and how the perception of everyone is basically controlled by what they push out, you know, on Fox News and all the other kind of brainwashing tools. But I was sort of getting into the whole synchromystic thing, which was kind of connecting it all to the entertainment industry. And Jake Kotz's early work just blew me away. And also Freeman, everyone knows about Freeman. He's done some amazing work on the entertainment industry. And just people like that, it sort of really connected the dots, which is what this is all about, really.
Yes.
And particularly in the mind control aspect, Fritz Springmeier, who's done some amazing books that you really need to read if you're interested in mind control and how it's connected to the entertainment industry, and people like Marilyn Monroe and things like that. So it's basically a combination of all those kind of entertainment sources and the conspiracy kind of sort of mixing up and becoming just really interestingly.
Yeah.
And then I just decided, oh, this is something I need to focus on. So I decided to basically start the blog last year, and it sort of kind of evolved up to all this mind control stuff, which is primarily where my interest lies right now.
Mm. And do you keep a close eye on the TV or even, you know, MTV, watch a lot of music videos?
Yeah, I mean, when I was growing up, all of these things, they just seem like innocent, good fun that you watch and you enjoy. And I still enjoy them today, even though I know that there's kind of a dark side behind them all. You kind of suddenly switch off and think, this is bad. I'm not going to enjoy it anymore. It doesn't work like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, that's kind of how that happened.
Would you say it's kind of across the board, or are there specifics that we can kind of boil down right away? Because again, there are, I would reckon, more powerful in a symbolic sense, music videos, for instance, out there than some,
yeah,
some other stuff. And what would some of these kind of artists or music videos be if you took a few examples for us?
Hey, well, if we just go from basically the blog's perspective, my first kind of attempt at this kind of analyzing music videos and things like that was, I think it was Katy Perry. You know Katy Perry? She's the I Kissed a Girl.
I know, yeah. And, unfortunately, I do.
Yeah. And her video for I Kissed a Girl just seemed to be so loaded with this kind of stuff. I mean, for instance, as she's lying in the bed with all the girls around her, she's got a white rabbit next to her, which, as many people know, is to do with Alice in Wonderland programming, and how they have to follow the white rabbit, and the white rabbit is the programmer to the mind of someone under mind control, which ties into Playboy and how it's all going into that. Yeah, and anyway, there was all these other kind of symbolisms I was noticing with mirrors, and Katy was sort of mirrored in there. And the thing is with this is that it's gone so quick. Like, I've tried to get through as many as I possibly can. But yeah, there's just so many common themes that you can pick out, whether it's checkerboards, which are in so many videos, or whether it's mirror symbolism or skull and bones, all these different symbols, or the Eye of Ra, Eye of Horus, checker cab, everything, all these kind of different symbolisms that are related to the conspiracy, you can find them in so many videos that it just gets a bit ridiculous. I think Rihanna's kind of a good example, if I could talk about her for a second.
Absolutely, go ahead.
Yeah, her... she has obviously got into a bit of a problem lately with Chris Brown, where she ended up being hospitalized after he beat her, basically. Mm. Have you heard about this?
Yeah, I've heard about it, yeah.
Yeah, and Chris Brown wrote this song called Disturbia, or he allegedly wrote it. I'm not sure if he actually did himself. And the video for it is just incredible. It's basically got her in a torture chamber, which you can watch this all on the blog, and she is portrayed in basically like a slave. She's in a torture chamber. There's all these different symbolisms where they have these two twins who are basically representing mirror symbolism as they're facing opposite each other, and she basically gyrates around this mannequin, which symbolizes like the empty shells. Because that's essentially what they are. Their personalities are removed through the trauma at an early age.
Yeah, they become kind of a vessel for something else, or for a mind control entity almost.
Well, for whatever personality they want to program in, basically.
There we go. Yeah.
Which takes time. And she's encaged. She's got one eye covered, and just so many different things. She's tied up and everything like that. And the problem that we have with this thing is that I sort of analyzed quite a few in one post, and then I'll sort of move on to loads of different stuff, so it's all kind of in a wave and wave, so it's hard to kind of get a sort of it's kind of hard to quantify exactly, you know, how it all fits together, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which makes it a bit difficult to explain in this kind of verbal setting. For instance, if we took another one like Kylie Minogue, so this might cut out for a second, her very first video basically has her running around on a checkerboard, which is Freemasonic, which you'll see in all the kind of Freemasonic tracing boards and in their lodges and things like that. There's a Scottish group called Biffy Clyroy, and they have a song called Mountains, which is actually, it's the video for it is filmed inside a Masonic lodge, well, an old Masonic lodge, and it's basically a duality battle. It's a battle between white and black, and eventually black wins out, and it's laid and it's set on top of a Freemasonic temple with the basically on a Freemasonic checkerboard floor, and dark wins because that's what the Masons they're working for the dark side, if you want to call it that, but really you shouldn't call it things like that or satanic or things, because I think that kind of lessens the what it's really about, which is something truly horrific.
Oh, interesting. And maybe we can return to that a little bit later. When you, for instance, are talking about the checkerboard, that's something that comes up as one of these kind of key elements or symbols. We were talking about mirrors previously, things that have to do with, on one sense, that you're kind of participatory in the game in a way. You're like a pawn in the game. You're standing on the checkerboard. You're like part of this dichotomy or these forces.
They're all just pieces on the Freemasonic checkerboard stage, which is the world. I mean, Shakespeare, who some people think is Francis Bacon, who is a Rosicrucian, and they're very much involved in mind control, as Sirhan Sirhan kind of proves, as he was a member of the Rosicrucian Order. And I personally think that they programmed him to kill Robert Kennedy. So where were we, sorry?
No, absolutely. I totally agree with you.
I was going to say, the Shakespeare's theatre is called The Globe, yeah?
Okay.
And so that kind of gives you an idea, the fact that this Rosicrucian order, their main theatre is called The Globe, which shows that they're kind of controlling all of it, if you know what I mean, these secret orders that have been kind of in the shadows for the whole of history, except for the last maybe 20-odd years, especially now with the internet. Before, none of this information was accessible to anyone because it was all kept in controlled libraries and everything. But because of the internet, it's just completely blown out of all proportion. And you can see they're trying their best to clamp down on internet freedom to stop people from finally realizing what's actually going on here.
Absolutely. It's very recent in that sense, the discovery, and it's a very interesting process just following.
Yeah, that's why I always find it a bit strange when people say, how come no one's woken up before now? When really the information just wasn't there before now. Well, it's all sort of coming together now with the massive rise in technology and everything.
Well, that's right. And I think that, I mean, books have obviously been written by scholars in the past who have been savvy to what's going on. But again, it hasn't been widely available or known in that sense. But things can go so easily in this context, can go, become very, very popular. And you know, in a way, the louder you shout, the more people are attracted to it in a way. And if we go back to this idea of the basic mind control theme or schematic of things, it seems very much that this is also about, as you alluded to with the mirroring, this is about shattering the personality. And one kind of suspicion that I've had when one looks at music videos, and we're looking at certain artists and singers and actresses and what have you, it seems to be that even the actual production of a music video could potentially involve a mind control experiment, if you will, on the actual person who is the lead singer or something like that, or the artist.
I can see that. I mean, with Rihanna in the torture chamber and everything, I do think that some of these performers, when they're acting in these music videos or even in TV and movies, I think that they actually are performing as a programmed alter personality based around the programming script of whatever movie they're acting in is. Yeah. So they're kind of living in the moment, like literally living in it, like it's a real kind of scene, whereas it's just fantasy, it's not reality. But that's kind of what mind control is all about. It's about confusing fantasy with reality, and so they can't make out which is which.
Absolutely, and in many cases as well, the message of the appeal that they're using, in many cases it's very, very sexual in that sense, and that we can get into that more, in more detail later on.
Absolutely.
But it also very much, as you say, it's about kind of confusing the rational then in a sense, and it's also about not only mind controlling potentially the artist or something like that, but more so the actual viewer of the music video. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely.
Like small girls, kids sitting looking at this stuff, you know?
They all love Rihanna. Rihanna's so popular now. All the little kids love her. And with all the other ones as well, Britney Spears, Miley Cyrus is now getting, her shorts just keep getting shorter and shorter, it seems.
Oh my God.
It just gets, it's so insane, but no one can really see it, which I find is even more insane.
Isn't it a bit of, it's a slow acclimatization as well to it. It just happens so with this, tippy-toe tactics, as we can call it, that
just gets progressively more and more perverse, if you know what I mean.
Right.
Sexualizing all the young. It's just very nice.
To cut you off, but also I want to get that in there that you mentioned before. Like it's also this, it's a perverted sexuality. I mean, it's about, it goes into the area where sex and actually violence, that's what I see, where those two connect. You mentioned the kind of the bondage aspect to this whole...
Yeah, Rihanna's, all of her concerts revolve around her in some kind of bondage get-up. It's crazy. Every single time she's in, black leather and all that kind of thing, it's just a bit... And remember, little girls are the ones who are really going to see her concerts, not pervy, well, pervy old men, they obviously do go see her concerts, but it's mainly little girls, so...
Right.
It can't be having a good effect on them as they grow up and they think that, dressing like that is cool or whatever. But again, I don't want to be the kind of person who says, let's ban all sex from TV and everything, because I enjoy it as much as the next guy, so... So it's a fine line, really. It's hard to know what is wrong. But if you're aware of what this whole thing is about, what the whole entertainment industry is based around, then you kind of know that it's not a good thing and that it kind of needs to be stopped, I think.
I think, again, if we can talk about different people. You mentioned Kylie Minogue, before one of these, another examples of this. She actually recently was admitted, I guess they call it, to the Order of the British Empire as well.
I've got a picture of her just here. She's covered in pentagrams, different colored pentagrams, shiny pentagrams, whilst Charles is standing over her, presenting her with the whatever it is, award or something.
And in
her concerts, just to like show the occult side of things, she has her concert is loaded with occult symbolisms and themes, with the Eye of Horus. It, at the very beginning of the concert, the Eye of Horus opens up on the big screen behind her, and all these occult symbols, they start flying out of it. Whether it's the satanic, and I don't obviously all say all pentagrams aren't satanic, but this is the specific satanic pentagram with all the symbols around it and the goat head inside the inverted pentagram. So it's also blatant, and also the Ankh and all the different occult symbols flying out at all the completely ignorant fans who are just there screaming yeah when what's this satanic pentagram doing flying at them? It just doesn't make any sense.
But
people don't kind of think like that.
I think it's, I remember just taking a few screenshots or a few pictures from something called the X Tour that Kylie Minogue was involved in.
Yeah, that is the one, I think.
And it's very interesting just looking at the dress or at the, what do you call it, the costume that the artists use on stage as well. And I think in this case, it's one thing that seems to have been popping up, and this is almost like, with the robot hand, have you seen that?
The robot hands are everywhere right now.
Yes,
especially with Beyonce as well. She's got her video for Put a Ring on It where she's wearing the robot hand, and they all find it. It's just like a big joke to them. Like at the end when it sort of zooms in on her and she moves her hand, and then the robot noise comes up. It's all kind of, it's just like a ritual joke, if that makes any sense. The fact that they're all these kind of, they're not human, they're programmed robots. They've been dehumanized.
Well,
they're pretty fine with it, it seems. Well, obviously, they don't have a say because they're under mind control. But
well, exactly. Have you looked into the like the aspect of who's like behind the, let's take something like the X-Tor with Callum Minogue. Who's the, you know, do you know who's the planning force behind that? You know, what company or personages are using that? Have you looked in at all to that area yet, or are you just looking at the basic, the obvious in your face stuff right now?
For the Kylie Minogue post I did, which was kind of the first big kind of post on all of the different, you know, female pop stars who seem to look mind controlled. And if obviously I'd go into Mariah Carey would be another one I'd do a similar post.
There you go.
I wasn't really looking at like which specific company or which specific person designed this, because for me, they all just sort of, they're all working for the same entity anyway. It doesn't really, they're all working for the powers that be with their, you know, their subversive symbolism, that I don't think it, you need to point the finger at this kind of, this specific person is designing something.
Do you think it could be a feedback loop as well, meaning that the people who back in the 80s, let's say, were themselves admiring the pop stars have now grown up and now are designing the sets and they are designing the dresses, and just it's a perpetual thing. They're just following on the same basic trend and bringing in these symbols without really kind of fully having 100% conscious awareness of what they're actually doing at that point. Do you think that's a possibility here?
I think that's a possibility, but I think personally it's more likely that there is a producer or someone from that kind of area who is like specifically asking for certain symbols and certain, because let's not forget all of these symbols can be programmed as triggers to trigger whatever kind of chaos they want to get started.
Yeah.
And so I do think that it's not just sort of people use these symbols because they've always been used. I think that they are kind of consciously used with malicious intent, but without kind of obviously affecting everyone, if you know what I mean.
Well, exactly. And I think that's
Thinking about it.
Yeah, go ahead.
If you get them, it's also a kind of way of making them worship them, because I think they like to be worshipped. So
yes.
That's why they put their symbols everywhere. So with them shooting at the crowd, it's kind of, they can't not worship all of their symbols.
I see what you mean. And I believe that is also an archetypal type of way of approaching this. That they're using,
worship kind of thing.
Exactly. They're using powerful symbols, and I think that they are savvy too. They know what symbols they need to use or what elements they need to bring in order to bring out in people the way, you know, so that the crowd or the viewer kind of identifies the singer with the goddess symbolism, where they portray or project the goddess ideal upon the singer, basically.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. And I mean, Kylie Minogue, just thinking about it, MK Ultra with Kylie Minogue is KM, so you've got an MK right in there already.
There you go.
Yeah, and also she's got a statue in Melbourne in Australia with her, because a statue is kind of similar to a mannequin. It's like an empty shell without any kind of personality or anything. And she's got a statue where she's wearing red shoes, and she's from Oz, Australia.
There you go.
And so it's all about that kind of programming. And she's obviously, like everyone else, she's got her waxworks with her portrayed as a fairy. And it's all these kind of, the way they're portrayed in ritual kind of clothing. And she dresses up as a Playboy bunny at one point. It's all relative, I think.
Yeah. And one thing that seems to be very common as well is this idea that every one of these kind of big singers, they start out as, especially the female singers again, if we talk about them, that they start out as this image of, what do you call it, like the girl next door type image. They're very kind of innocent and what have you. But then slowly time evolves and they always seem to go down the route of being more, you know, openly, you know, sexual in that sense. And it goes in towards this slant where everything becomes more violent. It becomes more, you know, basically a sexual expression that wasn't there before. Do you think that also is a pattern or a theme that is commonly used? I'm thinking of, even as you mentioned before, what's her name? Mariah Carey went through the same basic
Transformation.
Yeah, yeah, there we go. Thanks. Exactly.
Like a butterfly.
Yeah, yeah, there you go. And she even had an album called Butterfly, I think.
Yeah, she's low. I'd really like to do a post on her at some point. There are loads of good sources on Mariah Carey's mind control out there. If you look at Carissa's done some great work called Into Worlds, which everyone should look at that website.
What, give us the website again?
It's intoworlds.net, into okay. the number two, worlds.net. Yeah. And that's got a really good overview of the mind control symbolism in movies in probably a more concise way than mine is. And it's just really – and she talks about Mariah Carey as well. And there's also loads of forums out there. There's a few good threads on these mind control celebrities in the David Icke forum.
Mm-hmm.
And just to go back to your point about the kind of good girl gone bad. If I could go back to Rihanna.
Yes.
She's the ultimate good girl gone bad. She's got an album literally called Good Girl Gone Bad.
There you go.
Which has the songs Disturbia and all the kind of bondage theme going on there, which is a really good example, I think, of what you were just talking about. And her first album is obviously something to do with the sun. What is it? Yeah, Music of the Sun,
mm-hmm.
which is the kind of sun symbolism that you'll see related to most of these victims because they worship the sun, amongst other things.
Absolutely. It's a common one of these motifs, again, that is commonly popping up. And just briefly going back to Mariah Carey, that what is interesting there is that I think that she was married to the Virgin Media's head guy, Sir Richard Branson, a while back. And I think that he was the one who's kind of dragged her into this whole scene. And again, it feels to me that there's some kind of weird stuff going on there, but with he being
she's handler. Basically, I'll just come out and say it, she's a sex slave, I think, for people like Richard Branson. I mean, if you ever see him, he's always on his island and stuff, and Mariah Carey's just sitting there randomly, kind of looking empty-headed as she usually does. And it just seems a bit strange. Why would she be hanging out? And she's a millionaire herself, isn't she? So she doesn't need to kind of, you know, be Richard Branson's. But this is recently as well, after they're not out with each other anymore. So
sure, sure.
Seems a little strange that. You're absolutely right there.
Yeah. And again, just looking at some of the lyrics, some of the album names, the way that they're being portrayed. And then you have these weird kind of things where the celebrities' kind of breakdown seems to take place as well. I mean, I think Mariah Carey had it, and obviously as many people
around the age of 30 as well, which if you read Springmeier's work, apparently that is the age they kind of get thrown from the freedom train, as it's called, where they're told they're going to be set free, but actually they're usually killed in some kind of ritual, or they're just kept away from people. Britney's 30th is coming up reasonably soon, and you can see they've really been building her up lately. Mm-hmm. Her circus tour coming up with the Pussycat Dolls, and we could get into Pussycat Dolls and cat programming and everything later.
Oh my God, just keeps on, it just keeps on coming, as it were, in that sense. I think it's the idea of the doll is something that you've been looking at as well, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, again, it's kind of just like the mannequins. These are sort of things that don't have any, they're completely void of personality. They can't change their expressions, obviously, because then they're inanimate objects. And you have to understand how this plays into programming as well, where the child will be given a doll and then various drugs, trauma, and things that promote, create dissociation would be used to kind of make them have a split and basically create a doll-like alter, because they've been using this doll and they've had to go through this hypnotic suggestive words that will make them think that they're literally this kind of doll, which they would then be used, for all kinds of sick, unimaginable things.
I remember reading a while back about how also stars can be used as agents for various purposes. We can talk about it in the context of CIA, MI5 or 6 or whatever. Secret service intelligence.
There's lots of good work on the Beatles and how they were actually MI6 agents and all of that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's impossible to know who is working for who is a victim, who is a programmer, it's difficult to tell. We can see some obvious ones like Anna Nicole Smith's Howard K. Stern, and there are a few others I've mentioned. But overall, like the public figures, it's hard to know who's under control or who's being controlled, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But people like Michael Jackson, he's obviously been under control. I mean, his abuse as a child isn't really disputed. His dad is well known as abusing the Jackson children.
Yeah.
And I mean, just today, for instance, they're selling off all of Michael Jackson's his stuff, basically, from the Neverland Ranch,
mm-hmm,
which is more programming because, you know, he does abuse children, clearly. I mean, even though he was found not guilty, I don't think there's any doubt that he did. But that's mainly because of his own programming, and which is clearly Neverland, Never Grow Old, Tinkerbell programming, where he just never wants to grow old. He wants to spend all his time loving children, which is really a kind of twisted thought, but I think it's very much the truth. And even the Neverland Ranch, the coat of arms of it is virtually exactly the same as the British Royal coat of arms, with the lion on one side, and the unicorn in chains on the other side.
Really? Okay.
If you check out the Daily Mail, there's an article with all the pictures of the various things, and there's a portrait of Michael Jackson dressed up as a king, a monarch, you know, which plays into monarch programming.
Oh.
And he's got a symbolic crown, and he's selling off a Mickey Mouse Magic Kingdom drinks cooler. It's just all, and a Superman, which is all of these kind of different characters, all these different creatures, they can be used in programming by making the victim either think that they are actually this thing, or have them as just being part of, as a trigger, or there's so many different kind of possibilities. They're kind of infinite,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
that it's sort of, you just have to do your best at portraying which things can be used and which things have been used in mind control. But it's a difficult thing. And they're selling a robotic Michael Jackson head along with the crown and everything. It's just a big, and there's just to show the Peter Pan programming, there's a golf cart with Michael's face as Peter Pan.
Okay.
And it's just so crazy.
Do you think it's could be the case also that they're constantly using symbols, and then they have, you know, the fairy tale mythology. They have this constant theme of going back to your childlike state. The image of Wizard of Oz or Alice in Wonderland.
The cyclone takes Dorothy into Oz, and then everything comes into color. That's basically portraying dissociation into an alternate reality. And if you, and this is, which is basically the same as tumbling down, you know, the rabbit hole to Wonderland.
Yes.
And if you look, this is a common theme in pretty much all Disney films and basically most fairy tales, where some kind of, or if I could just stick with films actually here.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, the Disney movie Enchanted. It starts out in 2D in like a Disney cartoon, and then the princess, which is played by Amy Adams, she goes tumbling down this fountain, and then the spiral comes up, and then she changes dimensions into our reality. So it shifts from this false 2D reality into the real 3D reality, which is kind of portraying how the spiral, how it's related to the cyclone, and circles. It's all about circling into an alternate reality and, you know, becoming dissociative. If that makes any sense.
Yeah, very, very interesting. And it's, again, this idea of that you're being drawn into it. And again, these things have a dual, aspect to them.
Yeah, they're so multi-layered. It's kind of hard to explain the actual specifics behind every single symbol.
Isn't it also also becoming kind of just, savvy to the symbolism being used, and just noticing the parallels between, you know, one film or another, or one music video and another?
Yeah.
It's all about becoming aware of the key elements that are being used, and then of course people can do their own research on that and discover maybe new symbols and new elements that are being used that maybe people like you and I even haven't thought of. You know what I mean? It's like it's a discovering process in a sense, and we're learning a little bit as we go along here. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean I'm sure you grew up really loving films, right? I mean,
yes,
films are one of the most enjoyable things that you do as you grow up as a child. They encourage imagination. Well, they do have a lot of negative effects, obviously. They keep you in a low level trance kind of thing as well, if you think of it like that.
Yes.
But yeah, I mean, you can't, these films, they're really good entertainment, but at the same time, as you grow up, you surely must be able to pick up on some of these similarities, because they seem to repeat themselves so often, especially in the kids' films by Disney and things like that.
Yes.
Where it's just, there seems to be the same themes repeated over and over and over again. I mean, Alice in Wonderland is obviously the prime example. They're remaking it now with Tim Burton, who's done a lot of interesting work.
Definitely. He's a very interesting director and has a lot of those themes running in.
Yeah, I mean,
well,
just for instance, last night I was just watching Big Fish. I don't know if you've seen that.
Yeah, I've seen it, definitely.
Yeah, where it's got Miley. Did you know Miley Cyrus was in that?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, she was in there as Destiny Hope, which is obviously her real name, but it was changed to Miley Cyrus later. And anyway, in Big Fish, they have the kind of circus with what's his name as the ringmaster, the British actress, can't remember his name. He's kind of short. But anyway, he's got this little buddy of his who, for a lot of it, half of his face is covered in white and half of it isn't painted. And he's wearing a checkerboard kind of suit, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
And because he's this ringmaster guy, he's in control of the circus, and which has as its performers people like the twin girls who are connected at the middle, but they're two separate bodies above, which is kind of mind control symbolism with two personalities in one kind of body.
There you go.
And there's just so many, and in so many of Tim Burton's films there are these kind of repeated themes that it's difficult not to take notice, especially Tim Burton. He's crazy.
I think even he got involved in what's her name? She's in Fight Club and a few other. She's
Helena Bonham Carter. Yeah,
there you go.
She'll be in the new Alice in Wonderland. But I think Tim Burton, he's married her. Yeah, so basically, she is his kind of slave, if you will.
And one thing that I did want to get into with the aspect of like Helena Bonham Carter, there's so many others we can mention, but that is the bloodline connection to many of these actors, actresses, music stars. It's like seemingly on the surface, this is just, you know, that image of you know, every man or whoever gets, you know, that gets known and gets to be a big star and everything, you know, everyone's happy. Wow, you know, she made it or he made it or whatever.
Yeah, but that's just a complete myth.
There you go. Yeah.
the myth of the like nobody coming up and becoming a big movie star is complete rubbish. I mean, sticking with Helena Bonham Carter as an example, I mean, I've just got her wiki page here, which I posted most of this information in a post about them. But her mother, Elena, was a psychotherapist, so obviously she would know a lot about programming, you know, little children. But she could be a victim herself, so it's a difficult thing to talk about, really.
Sure.
And her father was a merchant banker who represented the Bank of England at the IMF, which is a big Illuminist, basically, a big Illuminist thing to keep, you know, the world's money consolidated and everything. And, he himself came from a British political family. And so that's just one example of how these actresses, they seem to be almost sort of made to do it from an extremely young age. And you can usually find these things out if they start acting or dancing or whatever when they're like seven or something like that.
Yeah, and I think Helena has Rothschild blood in her, isn't that right? Isn't that on the wiki page?
That could be, hold on.
I need to look up on that, but I think I remember that.
The Rothschild is mentioned there, but I'm not sure if there's actual blood relation or if it's just someone who they knew. But
anyway,
that wouldn't surprise me as well. I think that goes way back to her grandfather, but yeah, that's a great example showing that this, obviously the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers, these are the kind of families that these people are coming from.
Yeah. There's so much to obviously get into here. We can maybe spend a little bit of time on the abusive aspect to this. We talked about it in the context of Michael Jackson, who, for by the way, in a really, I remember a while back, a really interesting kind of incident, and these things never seem to be accidents either, but he was kind of, his kids were like photographed for the first time ever, what it was, and I think that this took place in the Luxor Hotel of all places in Las Vegas, and they've actually been on a ventriloquist, like a show with a ventriloquist.
Yeah.
And I think that the main guy, I can't find this article as we speak here. I'm going to try to dig it up later on, but I remember specifically that this ventriloquist was very much into the dragon motif as well. He always had a dragon that kind of was doing the talking, as it were, things like that, speaking to the reptilian part of the brain, going to the core of the emotion and even the fear in that sense. And that's why I think that the reptilian motif, for instance, is so commonplace and popping up all the time. What do you think about a motif like the dragon or the snake?
Reptilian? Well, yeah, the serpent is obviously, it's the phallus as well. So that kind of gets into the reptilian brain, and where sex and violence are essentially the same. The reptilian brain is nothing to do with kind of actual reptilians. It's just a part of the brain which we all have. But the actual imagery of the dragon and the serpent is interesting, because obviously that's kind of primal fear that's kind of embedded in all humans from the very dawn of time, which you can see in all of the old ancient arts where these snakes are drawn, and different kind of scary sea monsters of all kinds of tentacle creatures. I kind of view them all as being kind of phallic kind of symbols, where it's symbolic of kind of sexual violence, which is obviously where most of this, the dissociation, is caused as a child during the abuse.
Mm-hmm.
But and just as an example of this, David Lynch's daughter, I forget her first name.
I think Jennifer. She's Jennifer Lynch.
Yeah, Jennifer. Yeah, I did a post on her. And David, and she has a movie coming out called Nagaz, which I'm sure that probably rings a few bells. Naga,
snake.
So the ancient snake people, which I think Michael Tesarian has gone into them quite a bit.
Yes.
From India, and so the fact that Lynch and his movies contain so many mind control themes, obviously, the main example being
Lost Highway, Mulholland Drive, maybe.
Yeah, Mulholland Drive as well, which even has Billy Ray Cyrus in it.
There you go. Yeah, that's right. So,
but Inland Empire has got loads of mind control themes. Oh, sorry, no, his main TV show. What's that called again? Forgotten it for some reason.
Twin Peaks.
Yeah, Twin Peaks. That is loaded with mind control, because it's essentially about this girl who has been abused by this Bob, which you can view as kind of the kind of evil which perpetrates, which makes these people abuse their little children. And she enters the Black Lodge and the White Lodge. There's the Black Lodge, but you never really hear of the White Lodge. And so there's all these kind of duality themes, and these kind of themes of abuse and alter personalities are really prevalent in his movies as well, with Inland Empire, where Laura Dern's character switches between various alters, if you want to call them that.
Yeah.
And which is, it's a beautiful film, but it's also really, really, really dark.
Yes.
If you know what it's kind of really about. Same with Twin Peaks, which is obviously more twin symbolism as well.
Yeah. I think that Lynch films are some of the, most beautiful and well done films that are out there, and I definitely have a kind of a dual relationship with his work and so forth, but I just noticed to begin with that there's something weird there's something strange going on for the first time I was watching those films, and at that point I didn't have full knowledge of what we're talking about here today. But then later on, I, just as you kind of consequently discovered, okay, there's so much more kind of embedded in here. If we again, for instance, speak about Twin Peaks, and those who yet not have seen it or want to see it can, you know, what do you call it? Just
I'd recommend everyone go see Twin Peaks and all of Lynch's stuff.
Yeah,
because it can be really educational as well as being extremely entertaining.
Because I think also in what is interesting with Twin Peaks is that it is the father who is the abuser Laura, I think is her name, is develops this image of her father as this demon, and again it becomes very much like the fairy tale end.
The very end of Twin Peaks has, don't want to spoil it. Actually, yeah, I probably shouldn't say this, should I?
Well, I think you can, because people can mute at this point.
Yeah.
Or turn away for
a few seconds. At the end, basically, Kyle MacLachlan's character is taken over by this Bob, which I think we can view as a kind of primal alter personality, which is kind of the evil which we can all kind of perpetrate, but which most of us don't let come out.
Hmm.
And at the end of it, you find out he's being taken over by this alter personality, and he smashes his head against the mirror, which is part of the fractured mind symbolism, and how the mind fractures which is basically dissociation.
Yeah. Backward symbolism being, you know, with the red drapes going on the lodge. There's just tons of it. And again, the idea that David Lynch's daughter was actually one of the... I think Lynch only did a few of the episodes. He was obviously a consultant. He's even in the series, if you watch it. He's the deaf man, as it were. But Jennifer Lynch was the one who did a lot of the consequent episodes and actually continued on that thread.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many different mind control themes in Lynch's stuff that someone should really write a book on it. I think it would be very, very interesting.
Do you think that he is dealing with some kind of trauma himself? Do you think that he could have experienced this, or do you think that he's very conscious of what he's doing and he want to either alert people about this or drag people further down into it? What do you think is happening here in regards to David Lynch?
I don't know. You can never really know exactly what people's motives are behind why they use so many of these themes and symbols. Maybe he is dealing with some abuse of his own. Maybe he's just really interested in the subject. Or I personally think that a lot of these works that he produces, that he puts together, they are done so with the consent of people who know how it's done. Kind of, I don't think they would let something with so many of these themes be allowed to be made. If there wasn't some kind of sanctioning going on. Because otherwise, you know, people might start waking up, which I do think people are now slightly. And it's just so, it's crazy really how much is in David Lynch's stuff. I mean, there's the woman who goes back to her childlike personality. What's her name?
In which film are we talking about now?
I'm talking about Twin Peaks. When it's this old lady, she goes, she thinks she's back in high school, basically.
There you go. Yeah, but I can't remember her name.
It's all those different types of alter personality themes where the personality completely changes, and it's just so chock-a-block full of mind control.
Yeah. Hey, listen, Ben, I definitely want to continue with you for an hour or two. There's just so much more stuff that we haven't even mentioned yet that I want to talk about. So I definitely want to continue with you. But I want to finish off on one note here before we mention your website again and talk a little bit more about your work, so to speak. But and that has to do with David Lynch. If we go back to Mulholland Drive, I think you were the one who mentioned this, the cowboy scene in Mulholland Drive. Just briefly tell us about that and what your kind of interpretation of that is, and I can give my little two cents after that point.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, well, basically, this guy has had his life destroyed because he won't cast their mind-controlled slave actress, who is kind of a Marilyn Monroe-type blonde-haired figure, if you know what I mean, Hollywood sexy star. And so he's trying to find out why his account's been frozen, and he's a director. And so it's all very mysterious. He he goes to meet this cowboy, and he, and then the goat, the cattle, what's the cattle's, the sorry, the goat skull is above the ranch, and it's, the light goes on, which is all very Luciferian, and he basically tells them that you have to do this, or else you'll lose everything. You'll lose your way of life. You'll lose your, you know, your LA mansion. You'll lose all. You'll lose your wife. You'll lose your money. Which is essentially, I think, how a lot of these directors who are pretty well innocent, they just want to, you know, they want to live in the Hollywood luxury lifestyle.
Mm.
And to do that, they have to keep, you know, putting in the people that they want, the people that, basically all these executive producers, producers produced by, you see all these different credits.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that a lot of these people, these are kind of the kind of nefarious characters that we should be looking into,
mm.
who are controlling some of the imagery, whether it's some mind control symbolism or occult, or making sure like their girl is put into the movie.
Yes. I mean, Chris Knowles mentioned that also, the incredible detail that goes into every single scene, advisor yeah, after advisor, yeah. producer.
Sorry, Karen.
No, you're just, you know, continuing on that thread, that the meticulous planning that is going on behind the scenes, and all, every single person that is involved in all of this stuff as well. And again, I'm glad you mentioned that idea that in Mulholland Drive, in the film, you can actually see him being, you know, almost in one degree kind of blackmailed, as it were, by this cowboy character
yeah,
when
yeah.
he goes up to the mountain, which is another kind of religious symbol. Almost,
yeah, definitely. But, going up to the peak.
Yeah, well, exactly. There you go. And his main you know, point with all that being that, you know, you're going to replace, you know, or whoever you're thinking about for the lead cast, don't, you know, forget about it. This is the girl that you need to choose. And that
yeah.
could actually be something that have happened to David Lynch himself.
Yeah. That's probably quite likely. Although Lynch seems to have a lot more freedom than most other people.
Mm.
So I think he's probably just talking about how often it happens in the movie industry rather than himself per se. And in that, in Mulholland, it's got like lots of, there are loads of little tiny hidden things as well. Like on a pole, there's this sign that reads Hollywood with a Hollywood sign is hell.
Yeah.
Which is, I think he's what he's talking about here. He's talking about all the abuse that goes on behind the scenes of these Hollywood stars, which is something to talk about and something that's obviously much, much bigger than myself. And I'm probably not doing the best job at describing just how, because it is all kind of obvious once you fit all the pieces together.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that is the work. That's the good aspect of what you're doing here, Ben. You know, you're drawing attention, as it were, to these elements, to this aspect. And again, I think that people haven't, who might have seen the films, but again, haven't had this background or context, go back and watch the films again and consider some of the elements that we've talked about here today. And these are just a few examples, obviously. There are tons more. But I think that's the important work, Ben. And again, I think that you're just getting started, and we're just, you know, beginning
yeah.
to nibble away a little bit and scratch the surface here of what is hidden behind the obvious thing, so to speak.
Yeah, I'd like to get a little more focused on movies and just basically set things out in a more focused way where everything's more obvious.
Yeah.
But it's tricky to do that in my format where everything's written. I think I would need to do some kind of video thing for that to get off the ground.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And it's easy these days to do look into that, but I think it would be a very good idea. Again, it's always good with some, you know, moving images and more clear examples, as it were.
Yeah, that's why I try to put in as many images into my posts as possible,
yes.
just to keep things from getting, because if everything's too texty, then it's a bit of a hassle to kind of get through everything.
Well,
whereas if you break it up with images, the images stick in your mind. With such an image-focused society now, where everything's on a screen as an image, I think it's important that I have all those images there.
Well, it's great work. Definitely keep it up. I want to continue here with hour two with you. There's just tons more to talk about. Before we take a little break, listen to some music and
yeah.
so forth. Mention your URL to your blog again, and if there's anything else you'd like to mention before we take our break, Ben.
Yeah, it's pseudocultmedia.blogspot.com, which is pseudocultmedia.blogspot.com. And can I just say, like, this is my first time doing this kind of interview kind of setting, so I'm a little nervous, and I've kind of been a bit sketchy on some of the details. Like, I wish I could have remembered some of the information more concisely than I have done. So just be aware that this is kind of my first thing, so I'm a little nervous.
Yeah, I think you're doing a great work, Ben, and don't worry about it. This is brilliant stuff, and again, we love to have new people on and you know, encourage new energy, as it were, to come into this, you know, field and getting more, you know, bold, as it were. So I really appreciate it.
Yeah, cool. You always do really great work with an open mind. I hope you keep it up as well.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Ben. Okay, well, we'll do like this then. We'll tune into some music, relax for a little while, and we will continue with our two in our member section. So stay tuned, Ben. Thank you very much for coming on. We'll be right back.
Cool. Thanks very much.
We are going to continue talking about the ugly side of show business now. We have loads more to get into, like Britney Spears and the Disney 33 Club. We're going to talk Polanski, Coppola, pedophilia, Lewis Carroll, and Alice in Wonderland, and some of the new TV series that are out there, like United States of Tara, the involvement of Spielberg and his Taken series, and the black ops and mind control aspect of the whole E.T. alien question. We are going to discuss Miley Cyrus or Hannah Montana and the whole country western music scene, Dolly Parton, sex and mind control, Princess Di, the paparazzi, JonBenet Ramsey, blackmailing of politicians and the use of mind-controlled sex slaves, and much more. So don't miss part two with Ben Singleton coming up. RedIceCreations.com is the website. Join us in the member section for much more. Click on subscribe to find out how to sign up. And for the price of about a pint of beer per month, you'll get full access to the members area. You'll get instant access when you sign up, and of course, if you skip that pint, you'll stay more sharp and actually encourage growth instead of losing brain cells. So think about it. I also want to mention that if you're making your own music and if you want to have it played on Red Ice, send it to us. We want to hear it. Go into our radio archive, click on bumper music to read more. We will be right back.
I'm a rolling stone, all alone and lost. Life of sin, I have paid the cost. When I pass by, all the people say, just another guy on the lost highway. Just a deck of cards and a jug of wine. And a woman's lies makes a life like mine. Oh, the day we met, I went astray. I started rolling down that lost highway. Bad, just a kid like you. And now I'm lost, too late to pray. Lord, I paid the cost on the lost highway. Now boys, don't start to rambling around on this road of sin. Your sorrow bound. Take my advice, or you'll curse the day you started rolling down that lost highway.